Hey everyone, I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to the Efficiency Bee podcast, where we focus our time, money, and energy on doing all the right things to live a bold, balanced, and blessed life. I'm your host, Melissa Leone. Each week, we'll share some awesome conversation, new ideas, and lots of laughs. I'm a busy woman. I do life with my husband and three kids. I have a big corporate job, and I'm building my dream job on the side. I created EB to share my story, my lessons learned, and inspire you to build a life that you love. You've heard of a queen bee, a honey bee, or a busy bee? This is Efficiency Bee. Hey everyone, thanks for joining me today. I just had the coolest conversation with the coolest woman. I just got off the phone with Dr. Fenike Kiara Young. She is based in Atlanta, Georgia. She's a licensed trauma therapist, a doctor of behavioral health. She's a director of a doctorate program. She's an author. She's so many cool things. And we just had such a fun conversation. The key takeaway of our conversation is accountability and why it's important for our children, why it's important for us as adults, and why it's important for our country. I really hope you enjoy it. Let's jump on in. Hi, Dr. Fenike, how are you?
Hi, Melissa. I am well. Thank you so much for having me. I am very happy to be here and excited. I am ready to get started.
Me too. I'm so excited to talk to you. We just had a quick opportunity to catch up off the recording, and I was like, hold on, we got to do all that again on recording because you just have so much to offer the audience, and I'm so excited to talk to you. So let's start with just you. Tell us about you, where you live, who you live with, how you live your life, and we'll keep moving.
Yes. So I reside in right outside of Atlanta, Georgia, in the suburbs outskirts. I'm in Metro Atlanta, and it's so big if you ever come here. Just know how to drive if you do plan to come here. I live with my husband. And we have three children, one of which is my biological son. And then I have two bonus children, a son and a daughter. And then my son, my bonus son lives with us. So it's two boys in the house, my husband, and then me. So awesome. I'm in a boy house.
I love it. I love it. Very cool. And what do you do? What do you do all day? What's your job like?
So I am a director of a doctoral program, which is online. So I am remote there. I am also a licensed therapist. And so I have a private practice. I am a master Reiki practitioner, and I infuse my Reiki with my therapy and also detoxing. My doctorate is in behavioral health, and there's an emphasis on integrated care. And so I use my practice to implement integrated care strategies when working with my patients or my clients, with the goal of helping them to heal more efficiently and faster. And so I always tell them, like, hey, I don't want you to stay with me for years. I want you to come here, and I really help you get healed based on whatever their ailments are, whatever they have going on. And let's see, I do that. I'm a mom. I'm a wife
and
an entrepreneur. I'm a spiritualist, and so I study and incorporate as many different spiritual modalities as I can together, because my philosophy is that we're all just trying to figure it out, and we all hope and pray that we're right.
Isn't that true? Oh my gosh. I feel like I was just having that conversation with somebody about COVID. Like, none of us know what we're doing. We're all hoping we're right. Yeah. Everybody relax.
Everyone relax. Thank you.
Everybody leave each other alone and just do your own thing.
Exactly.
I know.
And that's pretty much what life is no one received, a document saying, hey, this is the way that you do it. this is the way that, you know, this will land you these results. We're all kind of just winging it, you know, just be honest. We're winging it. We're figuring it out as we go. I think about that with parenting all the time. Like, you know, I'm literally, I look at my son like, hey, kid, I'm just really winging it.
This is the best I know today. And as soon as I know better, I'll do better.
Do that, right, exactly. So
I just had this like really emotional conversation with my 10-year-old over the weekend because today's September 15th for the listeners. So over last weekend was the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Mm-hmm. And my daughter obviously wasn't born. She's 10. So she had no idea about how it all was. And she's getting to that age where she's like really interested in history and the emotions of it. And I found this anniversary to be very emotional. And we were talking about it. And she's like, well, why did those people do that? Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be like, because they're crazy assholes. Mm-hmm. But I also found myself saying, because they believed that was what they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
And how do you like, how do you look terror and terrorists talk about them and say that's the, they were doing what they thought was best for them. Right. Mm-hmm. And such a like weird, heavy conversation to have around a terrorist attack, but it's true. I mean, at the same time, we're all just doing what we think we should.
Yeah. And I, you know, I've really, my birthday is September 12th. So my birthday is forever doomed because of 9/11. Mm-hmm. I always, you know, just kind of take a step back, especially when I think just having children and they ask so many questions, you know, like your daughter did. And it's really hard, I think, sometimes to not give your opinion on something, to kind of invoke that, you know, like, so that processing for them, like, hey, so that critical thinking, I'm always trying to approach it, especially with the 12 and 13-year-old, you know, so what do you think? And what do you think we should do? And, you know, so what's, you know, what's your opinion on it? Because I feel like if I give my opinion first, it will sway.
Oh my gosh, thinking. Yes.
And so it's, you know, with children, that's, I think, the biggest thing. And I feel like you did answer it right. You know, unfortunately, sometimes when we are, you know, trying to figure it out, it may not necessarily work well for others. It may not necessarily fall in line with others' belief. But at the time, as an individual, we are doing what we think is right. You know, and at the end of the day, there is a justification for it because, you know, whether it's, you know, religious beliefs, whether it is our beliefs about, you know, sexuality and spirituality and, you know, just race and gender in general, you know, that's what we think is right, you know?
Yeah.
And so it gets really, you know, convoluted and it can get messy because everyone is thinking, you know, what they're doing is right at the time. My husband and I, we were reflecting on, and I'm going to, you know, just start some trouble here, but,
I like trouble. Bring it on.
We were reflecting on, there's a rapper, DaBaby, and DaBaby has been, you know, he's a part of the cancel culture now because, he went on stage and I can't quote exactly what he said, but I know he said, went on stage and he said, you know, just some homophobic remarks. And I don't, you know, I'm not clear on exactly what it was, but you know, I was speaking to my husband and I said, it's so crazy how 20, 30 years ago, because I just turned 39 on Sunday, 20 years ago, it was acceptable to say, you know, certain things about, you know, being gay or lesbian. Like it was not as accepted as it is now, but because it's so accepted now, if you say something, it's like, I'm going to just, you know, tear your head off for now, you know, you're canceled. And I, you know, just reflecting on that and how people are going into others' past, like, I know Kevin Hart was subjected to that, just going into his past and pulling up videos from, you know, years ago. And it's like, well, back then that was okay. You know, and now it is not. And, you know, I totally understand, you know, I feel, you know, you do what you do, you love who you love. I have nothing to do with that. But you know, it's amazing to me just how I feel sometimes like we say, you know, yeah, speak your mind and it's, you know, freedom of speech and all of that. But then if you do, like, you are subject to getting your head ripped off.
Yeah, it's really true. And it's interesting. I was just like the very last podcast that I published, I was talking about Space Jam, the movie. Mm-hmm. And in Michael Jordan's in the 90s, Lola Bunny was a slut. She had a crop top. Mm-hmm. She had cleavage. Bugs Bunny was kissing all over and she was letting him. And in the LeBron James one, she was like badass, fully covered warrior princess. Mm-hmm. But nobody questioned it in the 90s. Yep. It wasn't a thing, yep. Right? And that doesn't mean that Michael Jordan was a bad guy or the producers of that movie were bad people. We just didn't have the lens mm-hmm. then. Mm-hmm. And people just don't want to give each other the grace to understand that our lenses are shifting and changing. Yep. And so be it, right? Like, yeah. You know better, you do better. Exactly. That's just the way that it goes.
Exactly.
It's not that it's okay what happened in the past, but yeah. Nobody knew. So
exactly, we were going off of what we thought was right in the moment. You know? Just like, you know, yes. As you just said, like in the moment, we thought that okay, this is acceptable. This is how it is. This is the norm. And mm-hmm. the beauty of it, I think a lot of people lose this part. The beauty of it is to see the growth. Like if you step back. You know, and you can, you know, just really look at the bigger picture. You can see the growth. You can see the ups and downs. You can see the struggles. You can see, you know, those waves, those trends, you know, and really look at them and say, wow, we've evolved from this to this to that to this. And, yep. You know, but sometimes I feel like we get so caught up and take it so personal that we can't pull ourselves out from and to see the beauty of the changes and, you know, just how things have shifted. And of course you have some people who, you know, their thought patterns doesn't necessarily change. And, you know, they're thinking the same way that they were thinking 30, 40 years ago. You know, and that happens as well. I can think of, you know, my mom is 72, you know, and 73 and, you know, at 73, how realistic is it for me to say, hey, mom, so now this is something that is accepted. This is something that is okay. Now you have to shift your worldview of things, mm-hmm. you know, so how.
Yeah, we can barely expect them to use iPhones, let alone like shift something that. I mean, I tease my mom all the time. Like she won't use a DVR mm-hmm. because it's like too much of a hassle. So then try to unwind your social education and what society has taught you. That's unrealistic.
But it's
interesting. And there is, you know, in your field of work, like I know you talk a lot about behavioral health and trauma, and there's a lot of emotional trauma mm-hmm. happening to people today. Yep. And not just because of COVID, but because of the kind of civil discomfort that this country has been in for the last several years, mm-hmm. people are walking on eggshells around each other. And even people who are friends, if like, you know, the other person doesn't see that polarizing topic the same way you do, mm-hmm. there's tension and it's really interesting. It's palpable for sure. I can feel it when I'm in a space where somebody doesn't agree with or think that I would agree with them, you know?
You know, I mentioned to you that I'm the director of a doctoral program. And I remember when George Floyd was killed. Mm-hmm. And one of my instructors, a white woman, she said to me, because as a director, I was like, okay, we have to, you know, send out a statement. I mean, I send out statements whenever there's something that happens, especially from a political and social view that I feel is going to impact the student. Mm-hmm. So I've sent out multiple statements, because we constantly have so much going on. But when that happened and I had to send out a statement, one of my messages to the instructors were, you know, in your classes, make sure that you create a safe space for students to express themselves. And, you know, if they are upset, whether they're Black, white, Hispanic, Asian, whatever, you know, just create that safe space. And mm-hmm. one of my instructors, like I mentioned, a white woman, she said to me, so do I just not say anything? Do I address it? Like, what do I do? And I mm-hmm. told her, I said, you definitely do not say anything. You Agreed. Definitely say something.
Yeah.
That then makes you look insensitive. And I understand you're like, well, I don't know what to say. Totally get that. And
then say that, right? Exactly, say, I don't know what exactly to say.
Something. And, yeah, you know, you can't just act like, you know, the world is not crumbling around you, you know,
so yep,
by you not saying something, that makes it worse, because to the students, they're like, you know, you guys are aware of what's happening out here.
Yeah.
You know, so
totally agree.
So that was the thing, you know, I was like, listen, you have to say something. And like you said, even if you say, I don't really know what to say, however, I just want to let you guys know that this is a safe space. And, you know, I honor, you know, your feelings. And if you have questions, and if there are things that you want to discuss, let's do it. You know, like, this is an open forum for us to do it. And so many of our students were so grateful, because many of them, you know, they have to go to work. And so when they were going to work, no one was saying anything, exactly, mm-hmm, you know, what we just talked about. And a lot of them reported that they just felt so like they weren't being seen, you know, like, it's kind of like when people say, I don't see race. And I'm like, well, how can you not see race? If you don't see race, then you don't see me.
Yeah, no, exactly.
You say that you don't see race, and then you look at me and I'm a Black woman, and you don't see the fact that I'm a Black woman.
Right. Right. What does that, like, what exactly are you implying? Have you, well, actually I have two comments I wanted to make. The first one was that one of my very first podcast guests was a man named Chris Tompkins, mm-hmm, and he wrote Raising LGBTQ Allies, mm-hmm, and his biggest message from the book, and he even talks about, like, this message can go across any topic, but he chose LGBTQ, and he says, not saying something is saying something.
Right. Exactly.
And I hear that in my head over and over again. Every time an uncomfortable thing happens with my kids,
yep,
we got to talk about it. We're not going to push it under the rug.
Definitely.
Anytime there's something comes up on, I mean, just the vaccine mandates the other day, I wanted to have a conversation with my kids and my husband about it, because it's important to just talk about uncomfortable things,
yep,
and to get that all going. Yep.
And honestly, Melissa, what you're doing is you're preparing them. You know, as simple as, and I'm just going to use this because that this is what happened this evening. But my son is in Taekwondo, and he's like, I don't want to take Taekwondo anymore. I want to do boxing. And mm-hmm, I let the coach know, and the coach is like, okay, well, I want to talk to him before he pulls out. And so I told him, I said, hey, when you go to Taekwondo tomorrow, your sensei is going to want to talk to you. And he like kind of like balled up a little bit, like, mm-hmm, he's going to want to talk to me. And I said, yeah. I said, he wants to know, why do you no longer want to take Taekwondo? And so I said, well, what are you going to say? And he just kind of, mm-hmm, looked at me, and I said, well, you have to tell him something. So let's start here. What are you going to say? You know? And so just kind of having those conversations. And I really, you know, as a bonus mom, as a stepmom, and because I'm a therapist, I really try to create a space with the two older children, especially, where we can talk about everything. You know, they're 12 and 13, mm-hmm, sex is a big thing. You know, yep, we need to discuss, having a boyfriend and girlfriend is a big thing. Sexuality, yep, is a big thing, you know, like, mm-hmm, whether you like boys and girls or both, you know, and we tell them all the time, I don't really care what or whom you like, as long as they treat you well.
Totally.
Well, that's what I'm concerned about. But you know, just kind of having those conversations and then teaching them what it means for someone to treat you well. So what does that look like? You know, so I think creating that space, and I would rather my kids get the information and we have the discussion between us than they have the discussion with their friends who are blind just like them. And then you have the blind leading the blind, and no one, you know.
Yeah. Or worse yet, they get their education on YouTube,
exactly,
which is something I've read recently, is that, like, a lot of kids are getting uncomfortable conversations, yeah, via YouTube or via podcasts. Mm-hmm. And great, I hope your kids are listening to my podcast, but what if you should be having this conversation? Yeah. Right. And it's uncomfortable. Have you read White Fragility?
No, I have not.
Okay, I highly recommend this book. Okay. It's written by a white woman, okay, and she talks about why white people are so uncomfortable with talking about race, okay, and how white people are not accustomed to hearing the word white.
Mm-hmm.
They just think of themselves as the people and everybody else is a color.
Right.
And so when people say, I don't see color,
right,
it's because they've been programmed, or society has taught them, that saying color is a bad thing to do.
Yes.
It's really interesting, and it opened my eyes, and it actually helped me. I'm a white woman, so it helped me to label my own color and to label others and be good with all of us talking about it and embracing it. Mm-hmm. So it's a really good read. I enjoyed it. I've listened to it and I've read it, the paper copy, because you always seem to get something different each direction. So
yeah. I will definitely snag it. It's interesting because what you just made me think of, I remember going to Georgia State, and I don't remember exactly what happened, but they put the AJC, which is the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. It's a huge newspaper here in Atlanta. They put this black man's face, huge like sketch of a black man, on the front page of the paper with buildings mm-hmm. behind him. And it just was like frightening. And it could have been like some random black man, you know, anyone. And it was just so scary because it was like, wow, like, how dare you just criminalize a whole race and gender, mm-hmm. you know, like that. And it's interesting also because whenever I hear the news, I always know when a perpetrator is white, always. Yep. They don't say the color. They always say male or, yep. you know, wearing blah, 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 blah. But if it's a person that is of, you know, an ethnic group, they yep. say it. So they'll say yep. Asian, they'll say black, they'll say, you know, Hispanic, they'll say, you know, but they never say white male. They always just yep. say male or yep. female. So, you know, I love that you said that because it just shows up in so many different places. It shows
it
up
really either. Does.
And it enforces the trauma that so many minorities have when it mm-hmm. comes to, you know, just trusting the police and trusting the, you know, political systems and trusting the justice system, just because of the way that minorities are just criminalized and it's just embedded in the system. It's really crazy, you know, when we talk about, you know, just systemic racism, and a lot of people, they don't understand, like, what does that mean? It's like, listen, the policies, the structure, everything, the way that it is built, the way that things are implied, the assumptions that are made, that's what we mean by, you know, there being just racism built into the system. Mm-hmm. That it's going to take so much to really, you know, just shift it so that it's not there. I don't really know if we can, because America is just built on that's the foundation.
I think we're taking huge strides forward just in having yes. these conversations.
Right. Yes.
And I mean, if six generations ago, my ancestors who have been in the United States long before it was the United mm-hmm. States, I mean, I've definitely benefited from being one of, you know, in a family who's been here for generations. Mm-hmm. There's definitely that, like, the longer you've been here, the more opportunities you've had to live the American dream, mm-hmm. so to speak. But if generations ago, my family owned slaves, mm-hmm. that concept is somehow passed down and mm-hmm. hidden, swept under the rug. And by not saying something, people are saying something. Mm-hmm. That builds, it bakes into society. And I've had to really go through and have conversations with people in my family mm-hmm. about it. And fortunately, I have incredibly awesome parents who are willing to like challenge me. I challenge them. We have these really dynamic and fun conversations. They're not fun. They're mm-hmm. they're dynamic. Mm-hmm. But I don't disagree with you at all. How could it not pass down? Mm-hmm. It's impossible, and vice versa, right? How could Black families not have fear of mm-hmm. police if generational knowledge and history tells you to be afraid? It's impossible not to do that, right?
It's generational. So crazy. It's generational trauma. You know, at the end of the day, we live in a society that, you know, unfortunately, there's such a strong history of that trauma, you know, that just trauma induced. And then we have trauma induced responses. And so mm-hmm. you know, sometimes like I, you know, just looking at some of the Black men and women that have been killed by police. And then people say, well, why did they run? And I'm like, because they're scared. And I'm scared.
And because their grandfather told them one time when they were four, run, right?
Like, don't trust the police. The police do this. The police, the police lynch Black people. The police, you know, so how do you then say, well, I mean, why did they run? You know, if they wouldn't have ran, then the police wouldn't have shot, because they're scared.
And I totally get it. And Finike, I feel the same. Yeah, I feel the same way about being a woman, right? I mean, this last week, the mandates on COVID vaccines came out from President Biden, and the Texas bill came out stopping abortion after 6 weeks. And I am infuriated, infuriated by both, but the abortion one has some embedded like female trauma in me that makes me want to fight. and I don't know where that comes from. I mean, I've never had, thank God, I've never had to make the decision to have an abortion, but my desire to fight for the ability for my children and my sister who lives in Texas and her daughter to have that freedom of her own body is so deep inside of me. I can understand completely why any group of any type would want to fight in the same manner. I mean, it's such an awesome time in history, I think, to be alive, to be able to have these conversations, and hopefully they continue.
Yeah, definitely. Like yourself, we'll have to do a whole nother
podcast. I know, right? It's intense. I've had this conversation about this abortion law like 3 times today, so because I'm so fired up about it, and I'm actually interviewing tomorrow to become a board member for Planned Parenthood in Arizona I want to be part of the conversation in as many ways as I possibly can, so that my daughters and my nieces all have freedom of their own bodies.
But. Yeah, so they have rights and choices and options. You know, and it's always just. The conversation is always about, you know, well, certain people want this because they're the ones that use it. And I'm like, listen, regardless of who uses it, it's still my choice, because if for whatever reason, and usually, you know, like if you're really looking at it, if woman has gotten pregnant because of a traumatic experience, are you saying then that, you know, no, you just deal with it. And you just make sure that you just keep the baby and love the baby. And, you know, we don't know what the long-term effect will be from that mother to that child. We don't know mentally, psychologically, how that will affect that mother. Because again, you know, there's trauma that's related to so much. I really feel sometimes like there is a huge just blind spot. I will say, you know, just in society, for the amount of trauma that we've had to endure, and a lot of the things that we've just had to, you know, just go through, period, and the response to it. Sometimes it just feels like it's just such an insensitive response sometimes. And it's a lack of emotional intelligence, I feel like, because we just don't know, you know, like what someone has gone through, how that impacts them, how it shows up. I'm always, you know, looking at when, and I'm a serial optimist. So when things happen, I always try to find the good in it first. Like that's always my go-to, like, okay, so this person, you know, just shot up a store or, you know, their job. And I'm always like, okay, what was going on in that person's life? Like, that's my thinking. Like, what was happening to that person to make them, you know, resort to that, you know, level of violence and response? Yeah. What happened to them? And I feel like we don't take the time to try to figure that part out. You may hear it in the news for maybe one day, but then after that, it's gone. You know, and so there's never a, okay, well, this person responded this way because of such and such. Let's take a look deeper at society to see how much of this is going on and how is it really impacting us. You know, like we do the census every, you know, so often. And I just feel like there's certain questions that should be on the census, you know, like mm-hmm. mental health. Do you have like, you know, a mental illness? Are you receiving the services in your community that you need to help cope with that mental illness? Do you have a physical disability? Are you receiving the services that you need for you to be able to get around and access, you know, just community items and, you know, for you to be successful in your community? I feel like there's certain things that we're so focused on that really are not that important. We overlook the part that makes us a society that mm-hmm. can look after one another. You know, I'm the person that if I'm driving and the kids from the neighborhood are in the street, you know, I stop my car and I'm like, hey, watch where you're going and get off your phone. Don't walk. You know, like the other day I was, I have a hill to my house and boy was walking down the hill on his phone. And I was like, hey, if a car comes up here and they're not paying attention and you're not paying attention, you're going to get hurt. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, well, if I don't tell him, who's going to tell him that? And I'm just then going to wait for it to happen. You know, so I feel like there's a responsibility that we don't take for one another. And to me, that is, that's the part that's kind of discouraging because I feel like we have so many connections. We have so many shared experiences and we don't view each other like that. But someone else in the world has been through the things that I have been through. And I can connect with that person to help them to get through it, you know, emotionally and vice versa. They may be able to help me, you know, give me some advice or tell me what they did to get through it. But we lose that because we don't focus on those shared experiences. We're too busy focusing on the color of someone's skin or who someone is in love with and what their sexuality is and, you know, what their, and it's the wrong things. We're focused on the wrong things. We're not focused on healing and helping one another. And that's the part for me that, you know, it's difficult for me because I am that person. And so sometimes I feel like if I say this to this person, if I approach them a certain way, are they going to, you know, how are they going to respond? Are they going to be welcoming? Are they going to be okay with it? You know, my husband tells me all the time, like, you tell everyone you love them. And I'm like, cause I do. I mean, why wouldn't I, you know, like until you show me something different, just as a human being, like, sure, I love you. And guess what? No one probably ever said that to you. Or when was the last time someone, you know, said that to you? And I do that because I grew up in a household where, you know, I love you was not something that I heard every day. My mom didn't tell us that she loved us every day. And, you know, it may be once a year, you know? So I grew up in a household like that. And so I'm very clear on what that means to someone and how that can make someone feel. And if someone is thinking about doing something or like hurting themselves or, you know, they're feeling unloved, just hearing that I love you from somebody may change their whole life, you know, and change the whole outcome. So I just went on a whole rant.
Remember how I mentioned my dream job? Well, I thought I'd take this opportunity to tell you a little bit about it. It's called 2Sense Consulting. TWO. SENSE. We focus on building custom, simple, and sensible accounting solutions to small businesses. We customize a plan based on the specific business needs. Options are available from a single consultation, multiple session packages, or long-term support. We're 100% woman-owned and operated. We specialize in strategy, process improvement, or just some good old-fashioned accounting cleanup. We're here to help you maximize the way you spend your time and money. All right, let's get back to the show. It's in everyday moments of life, right? So yesterday, my daughter, my 10-year-old, went to a photo club or something after school. She didn't show up when I thought she should have. So I called the school and they said, oh, she's in the aftercare. You have to go in and sign her in out. Well, I had the puppy in the car and it was like a thing. And I said, I can't go inside. Can you just send her out? And this lady kind of like started arguing with me about it. And I said, she was in photo club. I don't know why she's in the late care. Just give me my kid. And I got a little frustrated and I could tell she was frustrated. So then my daughter comes out and she gets in the car and she's like, oh, photo club, the teacher didn't show up. So we didn't go. And I thought my head was going to explode. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why weren't you where I thought you're supposed to be? Mm-hmm. So once I got past that, I thought, oh my gosh. And I just completely was rude to the after school care lady who was supposed trying to do her job. So I called her, the after school lady, and I apologized to her on the phone with my daughter standing there. And I said, I'm so sorry that I was so rude to you just now. It was uncalled for. It caught me off guard that my daughter was there at all. I was having a little bit of a mama bear moment. Like, I'm sorry. And she said, thank you so much for calling and apologizing. It's been really bothering me.
That
and it was like
those
little moments of, I could have not called her back and been like, eh, whatever. But I was trying to teach my daughter that I reacted poorly. I'm going to go fix it and hopefully make this lady's evening a little bit better, because all she was trying to do was keep my kids safe, right?
Communicating to you, yeah.
And I had to be all pissy with her. But it's in everyday moments with each other, and we're all humans, and we're all responsible for the energy that we put into somebody else. And if we don't take responsibility for that, we can really screw up someone's day by being nasty to them or any of that. So I'm completely with you.
Their day, their life.
Totally. Yes.
It's insane, because I'm having, my husband and I, we're having this conversation with the 13-year-old now about, you know, constantly accountability. And, you know, he kind of like gives us a look like, I don't know what you mean. And, you know, and so I had a moment this morning where I had to get on him, and he kind of like deflected, you know, like just, oh, well, I responded this way because you screamed at me. And I was like, hold on, let's back up. I screamed at you because you were, what he was doing was scratching my pot with a fork. And, and I was like, listen, don't scratch the pot with the fork. One, you don't have a job, so you're not going to replace the pot. So that means that me and daddy have to replace the pot, right?
Okay. Yep.
So let's back up. Before you even get to the fact that I screamed at you, let's get to, what did you do in the process? Because you can't control me. You have no control over how I respond in the moment. But what you can control is, you know what? I did something that I wasn't supposed to do. Let me apologize. And that's what I said to him. I said, listen, first and foremost, you take ownership for what it is that you have done in any situation. And until you get to a place where you can own that, if you never get there, you will grow up to become an adult that is constantly repeating cycles, having difficulty in relationships, difficulties in jobs, difficulty in school, like whatever environment you are in, you will have trouble, because no one wants to be around someone that cannot own their stuff. No way.
You know
what I'm saying? Like
it's rampant right now too. Yeah. I know so many people who are like, oh, well, that's not what I meant. If that's your problem, or I mean, I have a particular person in my mind that no matter who she's working with, they're wrong. They don't understand. They're wrong. They're being mean to her. They don't understand why she was late. And it's like, don't you understand that all of these collective people are telling you the same message? It's not them. It's you. Like, you need to figure out how you are putting your message out there, how people are receiving it, or don't, but at least know where they're coming from and stop trying to push it back. It's interesting, and I will be damned if my kids grow up to be the type of people who can't understand why they are contributing to their success or to their failure.
Definitely.
I listened to a speech this morning, and this woman is a very senior executive at IBM. And she was talking about, she's got twin 8-year-olds and she's like this giant success story. And somebody asked her, like, how do you do it? And she's like, well, I work really hard. And she paused. And I was like, hell yeah, good for you for saying that, right? Because a lot of women would say, I have a lot of help. But she said, I work really hard. And then she said, I set boundaries and I have a lot of help. And I was like, I like this. This is the right order of things, right? Like, I'm responsible for the work that I put in, and I'm responsible for the boundaries. And then there's a lot of other people who assist.
So. And I'm responsible for the outcome. So that's the big piece. It's like, no matter how it turns out, you have to know. And at the end of the day, and this is the conversation I have with my son, who did later come back and say, I'm sorry, and I'm working on it. And he said, I just, you know, immediately do that. And I'm working on it, you know, and so we were able to have a conversation about it. But you have to understand that regardless of the outcome in the situation, it is yours. It is yours. So if you choose to continue to, you know, just go in a cycle, continue to, you know, the woman that you just referred to, it's amazing to me, like, the people that are saying this, they don't know each other.
Yep.
You're the commonality in that. So you know, at what point do you say, you know what, I am the common factor?
Right. So we're going back to math class. What's the common denominator here, folks?
Maybe it's me, you know. And so, some people never do that. You know, some people never take a step. And again, you know, like what we talked about earlier is taking a step back, you know, looking at the bigger picture. And some people never do that. And so, like, if you never do that, you'll just often just go through life lacking that emotional intelligence, lacking those relationships, lacking that, you know, just being able to build that trust and maintain relationships with others. You know, I know people that can't maintain friendships. They can't maintain love relationships.
Yeah.
They have, you know, just difficult.
Can't hold jobs. Yeah.
They can't because accountability shows up in everything. All of your relationships, accountability is the common factor.
It is 100%
accountability. Whether you have a job, you know, if your supervisor tells you to do something and you mess up and you get it wrong, and the supervisor says, "Okay, well, who did this?" You know, if you don't say anything and they find out that you did it, you're probably going to lose your job. Versus, you know what, I did that. But I did it because I thought that was the way to go.
Yeah.
Anything is fixable. That's how I look at it. Anything is fixable. But if you, when you don't take that ownership, you put yourself in a position, the company in a position, your supervisor in a position, you're putting everyone else in a position because you cannot take ownership for yourself.
Yeah. One of the things I talk about in my book, that's going to publish someday. It's done. It talks about locus of control and the concept that the locus of control, meaning I impacted it or you impacted my space, right? And why was I late to work today? Oh, I was late to work because there was too much traffic. Or you were late because you left late.
Right, then
there was traffic. Or like, flip it. And I talk about it specifically around money because my education and my experience and my professional self is in a finance space for small businesses. But it's like, your business isn't failing. You're failing to control your business.
Right.
You have to flip it. And sometimes it's an ugly image in the mirror, right? And you have to be like, ugh, this sucks and this hurts and I'm embarrassed. Those are okay emotions to have.
Yep.
And then let's take a step.
Yeah.
Because if you keep pretending, it's like we talked about at the top of this conversation, if you keep saying nothing to yourself, it's saying something.
Exactly.
It's a thing. I love this conversation. This is good. We would be friends for sure.
Let's do it.
We need to stay friends. I like you.
Let's do it. I need more wonderful women in my life that, you know, that get it. And
I know
how to communicate, have these hard conversations, because the things that we're actually discussing, I think others would find difficult to talk about.
I really do too. I don't find a lot of people who are just comfortable riffing about such uncomfortable things. So thank you for that. Before we go, because believe it or not, it's been 40 minutes already.
Wow.
Tell me about, I mean, like, you've got so much going on, so much awesome stuff you're about to put into the world. I know you wrote a book, you're about to teach a class, you're going to talk about a podcast. Like, tell me about all that. And then tell me how people can find you.
Sure. That 40 minutes went by so fast. So
it always does.
So I just wrote a book. The title of my book is What the Fuck Is Your Problem?
Becoming
an Active Worker and Healing Your Trauma. The book looks at how to take your healing back into your own hands. And we were just talking about that locus of control. So really focus on that internal locus of control and deciding that you have the power to heal yourself. You just need the tools. And so the book focuses on giving those tools, talking through. I use a lot of my own trauma. I was raised in a household with domestic violence, verbal abuse. I have encountered almost, you know, being raped. Someone broke into my house and tried to rape me, was not successful, fortunately. Just a history of, you know, just chronic trauma ailments. And so I kind of use those pieces in the book to help others, to let them know how I overcame those things, what are the things that I use. And then I interviewed some amazing women who were open to being vulnerable and sharing their stories. And so in the book, it covers, you know, like I said, domestic violence, abuse, grief, and loss. It covers betrayal and infidelity within a marriage and a host of other topics. Difficulty with childbearing issues, just a whole lot of traumas that impact women. So that is set to release in winter of 2021, towards the end of December, early January. Like yourself, Melissa, I'm in the editing phase. So just trying to finish it all up. I also am a transformational trauma coach and a licensed therapist. And so I have a coaching program that I'm introducing. I have a lot of women that come to me and they have difficulty identifying, you know, if they have trauma. So we start there, like, you know, do you have trauma? I help them to identify if they have trauma and where those blockages are occurring in their lives, and where, you know, just the energy isn't flowing. And so I have a 2-hour mini intensive that people can sign up for if they feel like they have blockages, and they have like something specific that they want to work on. And so that 2-hour mini intensive is for that. And then I have an 8-week intensive in which we meet for 2 hours once a week for 8 weeks. And we work through all of the different areas of life, looking at how that trauma has impacted them. I can be reached and followed on Instagram and Facebook at Dr. Fanike. That is Dr. F as in Frank, A-N as in Nancy, I-K-E. So that's Dr. Fanike. I can also be found on Clubhouse as well. I'm on there a couple times a week. But feel free to definitely like DM me if you have questions, if you feel like, you know, I have these blockages, I can't seem to, you know, stop repeating cycles in my relationship. I can't seem to, you know, I can't seem to leverage my business. I can't seem to scale up. I can't seem to, you know, get pushed past a point in my career that I want to be. I'm just having blockages and I don't know why. Feel free to DM me. Feel free to reach out and I would love to set up a session and work with you.
I love it. That's awesome. And we'll make sure to put everything in the show notes. So just go into the show notes and click and you'll be able to find everything there. So this was so fun. Thank you so much for coming on. I feel like we could talk for another hour, but we won't tonight. We will another time. And I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much, Melissa. I really enjoyed it. And I'm looking forward to coming back one day, actually.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, that wraps it up. Thank you so much for listening. I really enjoy doing this podcast, and I hope you enjoy listening to it. If you haven't already, please leave a rating or drop me a comment. I'd love to hear what you think about the show. Until next time, stay bold, stay balanced, and be blessed. See ya!